I tried putting this earpiece on today, and I realized either Hal has really big ears or I have really small ears. So if it falls off at some point throughout the day, just let me know. All right. I think my hair is a little bit longer than his, too, so it kind of gets in the way. But over the last several weeks, Hal has taken us on this incredible journey through Moses and through the book of Exodus. And we've seen just Moses rise up as a leader. We've seen him conquer and just do amazing things and really use the power of God in his life. And I think as we notice through the trend, it really hasn't been easy, especially dragging along 500,000 grumbling people with him. But through the course, he really, there's one thing that kind of has been a common thread, and that is detours. The detours that he has had to face and all the ones that have occurred. But today, like Hal said, I would like to pause just from the series in Exodus and kind of focus a little bit, not only on detours, but how we can learn from them. What is God trying to speak to us through that? So anyone who's been rerouted in traffic, oh, fell off my ear. See, I told you it was going to happen. We're back on. Okay. If it's annoying, I can just grab a mic. It's not a big deal. Would it be weird if I just held it like this? I'm going to do it because it's not attached to my ear. Okay, so if God knew the quickest way to enter the children of Israel into Egypt, my question is, why wouldn't he have just led them that way? But as we can see, God uses detours to not only teach us something, but to show us something. And so I'm going to have over on the screen here one of my favorite sayings I've heard that says, what matters to God more than our destination is what we learn along the way. And that is so true. It's been very evident in my life that God is trying to teach me things all the time, but I'm just so focused on the destination. I'm just so focused on where I need to go, how I'm going to get there, and God's like, April, no, I want to teach you something along the way. So today we're going to learn what can we learn through detours. That's going to be our question for number one. And number one is God's guidance. So as we learn through detours, number one is God's guidance. So if you have your Bibles, there's some on the tables as well. Go ahead and turn to Exodus 14. We're kind of going to be going through a few scriptures back and forth today. I love God's word, and I love backing up God's word with God's word. So I hope you're in for an awesome time. So as we see, God is guiding the children of Israel towards the Red Sea, not because that way was shorter, but because he desired for them to experience his power in action. So go ahead and turn to Exodus 14:13 and read along with me. And it says, and Moses said to the people, fear not, stand firm, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will work for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall never see again. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea and said, and the Lord drove back the sea by the strong east wind and all night and made sea dry. In the midst of the sea, on dry ground, the waters being a wall to them unto the right and to their left. So Hal preached on this just a few weeks ago about how when Moses came, the waters were divided. But I can only imagine the conversation between God and Moses on the way. You know, here Moses is, he's like, all right, I have all these grumbling people behind me, Lord. I'm trying to do your will. I'm trying to take them to the promised land. And he gets up and he sees just this huge giant thing of water. And he's like, God, you realize you're leading me towards nothing but water, right? We have the Egyptians on our back. It's like prison break. They're trying to get over there. The people are trying to get him. And God is like, Mo, just trust me. I will deliver you. And he's like, okay, we're getting closer and there's still water. And unless you plan on sending boats, I don't know how we're going to get through this. Mo, just keep trusting me. What I want you to do is when you get there, just put your hand up, and I will make the waters part, and you will walk through. Moses is probably thinking, well, that's kind of cool. All right, yeah, I guess that'll work. You put the waters up, all right, we'll walk through. But I laugh because I'm thinking, wow, like what courage on Moses' end to do that. If that were me, somewhere in the back of my mind, I would be thinking, I'm going to look really stupid if I put my arm up and nothing happens. And all these people just stare at me going, where are we going to go now? You know? But the awesome thing is that Moses was so willing, and God was faithful. And through that combo, many people not only saw God's guidance, but they saw his goodness. So if you will, just scroll down to verse 31 with me and see how Israel saw the great power that the Lord used against the Egyptians. So the people feared the Lord. They believed in the Lord and in his servant Moses. Isn't that just cool sometimes to think how God uses us in the most unusual circumstances to reveal his glory? I mean, that's really awesome. But I have to ask myself, like, why does God call us to do the impossible? And I think he would say it's because that is where his glory is most revealed. But to even think that he chooses to use us to reveal his power and his glory, like, what an incredible honor and responsibility that is. And just as a few weeks ago when Hal had asked me to speak, I'm thinking, oh, Hal, you know, like, so many more cool words than I know. Like, you've been to school way longer than I have. Like, I almost feel unqualified, you know? But I look at this story and I see that Moses was just willing. And so this week, I'm like, God, what do you want me to share? And he was like, April, just be willing. You don't have to come up with anything. Like, I'll show you. Don't you worry. And so it's just been awesome this week how I've experienced just one detour after the next. I've made plans. They've broken. I'm going to do this. They've broken. I lose my voice midweek, and I'm like, how can I speak? It's been one detour. So I finally yesterday told CJ, I said, you know what? It just seems like God challenges me with everything I share on. So next time I speak, I'm speaking on prosperity. Because hopefully, that way, if I get challenged with it, maybe something good will come out of it. But it's funny how God does that. And I don't know if Hal can agree, but like when you speak on something, God is like, oh, you want to share that? Okay, let's see how you live it. And I'm like, oh, it's just so much easier to talk on it, not living it. But it's just awesome how God will use us in ways that we have never imagined. And so if you will, just turn with me to Proverbs 3. And I want to focus right now how living in faith and trusting the Lord really can affect the direction of our life, not only in the present, but also in the future. And this is written by King Solomon, who was the wisest man in the world. And I kind of want to take note of the last verse before we read. So it's kind of like kind of giving away the end story, but it's okay. Solomon is saying, be not wise in your own eyes, but fear the Lord. And I thought, how cool is that to think that the wisest man in the world is sharing with his son, telling him, be not wise in your own eyes, but fear the Lord. And that means a lot coming from someone who knows so much, right? So even he has acknowledged that fearing the Lord comes before wisdom in your own mind. All right, so join with me, Proverbs 3, starting in verse 3, going to verse 7. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, so you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your path. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. And I love that scripture because the more I read it, the more I get something new out of it. The more I look at it, the more I go, wow, you know, I wish that was me. So I want us to look at this and think how different our lives would look if we didn't just read these verses, but if we actually lived them out. To be so caught up in God's love and faithfulness that it's engraved on our hearts. To trust him beyond our sight of understanding, putting him above our circumstances. To know the Lord of Lords looks at us and calls us successful. To acknowledge God in such a way that where he leads, we just naturally follow. To be so turned off by sin and tempting desires that all we crave is God's goodness. I don't know about you, but if I truly lived that passage of scripture out, that would change my life. It would change my life forever. And so I want to challenge you and me today is what holds us back? What holds us back from loving God so much that we don't even desire sin? What holds us back from putting our circumstances on hold and loving him through everything else? So I want to turn our attention to what we can learn through detours number two is God's provision. Where has God ever led you where you didn't want to go? I can know my story started in 2005 when my parents sat me down and said, April, we feel like the Lord is calling us to move. We're going to move to Brooksville. And I looked at them and said, Brooksville, where's that? I couldn't even find it on the map. I was like, where are we moving? We're moving to Brooksville. And so against my will, we came. And I just had the worst attitude in the world. I did not want to be here. I did not want to move here. All of my friends were back in Cape Coral. My my siblings were either married or in college. And I'm thinking, I have to serve my unwanted sentence in the Brooksville Correctional Community. Okay, it was like home of the mermaids and unlimited buffets. I was devastated. I did not want to be here at all. And I remember my parents were trying to give me a good time, and God bless their souls. They took me to the Whistle Stop Junction, which if any of you remember that, it's not very pleasant. They took me to the Whistle Stop and then to Beacon Theater, and I'm thinking, wow, it's just getting worse. Like, I think hangnails would be more enjoyable than my experience here. But as I'm here, I had a bad attitude. I didn't want to be here at all. And I remember going to youth group and trying to fit in, trying to be sweet, but I didn't want to be here. So I asked one of the girls, I said, oh, you know, Brooksville, do you like it here? And she goes, no, I can't wait to move. In fact, when I'm 18, I'm getting as far away from this town as possible. And I'm thinking, oh, great, like I just moved here. But here's what I find through that time is that when I first came here to that youth group, it was that youth group that inspired me to work with students. And one day I had a dream in my heart to be a youth pastor that I never thought it would ever come to be, because I obviously knew more than God did. And so I just didn't think that would ever happen. But it was that youth group that inspired me. And through the course of time, I was able to meet so many amazing, hilarious friends that ended up becoming some of my closest relationships through the course of time. And through that, I met the love of my life here. We got married here, we bought a home here, and now I get to serve the Lord with you here. So I look at that as a detour in my life that I did not want. I did not want to move to Brooksville at all. And at the time, I resisted God because I didn't know what was ahead. But all along, the Lord knew the joy I would find here. He knew that this would be one of the greatest chapters of my life, but I didn't want it because I couldn't see it. And so my faith was squashed by my circumstances. And it only took several years later for me to see that God had been orchestrating my destiny all along. He knew the joys and the loves and all the passions that would stir up in my heart in this place. And I just saw it as a little podunk town I didn't want to move to, you know. But our attitudes can change when we understand and see that God and his provision is over all. That we don't have to let our circumstances get in the way of what he is doing in our life. And so it's amazing to see that through that detour, really what it was is it was a stepping stone to so many other relationships, to ministry, to opportunities, to insight. And I've come to find out that the unknown turns sometimes can become our greatest journey. And I don't know if that's true for you, if you've taken a turn off the road where you didn't maybe want to be there, but then later on you saw how God used it. And I'm very thankful to my parents for not only listening to the voice of the Lord, but actually following through with it, to have no idea what you're doing, to pack up your family, and to move to Brooksville. But I'm just so amazed. So I want to really dig deeper in that and to discover how can we live a life that is truly Spirit-led. So if you will, turn with me to John 16:13. And I want us to notice how living a life with the Spirit of God can really impact our lives for the present and the future. So in this scripture, Jesus is sharing with his disciples right before he's about to be crucified the gift that he's leaving behind. And it's amazing to think that as God being the Father and God being the Son and being the Holy Spirit, that there's three so amazing parts of him, but yet he chooses to use them to speak into our lives in so many different ways. So reading in John 16:13, it says, "When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come." So God provided the Holy Spirit inside our lives to speak to us the things that are to come. So we're going to flip forward a little bit to 1 Corinthians 2, and I want us to see how the Spirit not only speaks to us what he hears, but he also speaks to us from what he hears from the Lord. So it's pretty cool stuff. 1 Corinthians 2, starting in verse 9, going through verse 12. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person, which is in him? So also, no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. So it's cool to know that the Spirit searches the mind of God, his very depth, his very being, so that we can grasp the things that he has for us. We can't even imagine what God has prepared for us. And I actually did some researching, and I looked up the Greek word for prepared. I wanted to see a little bit deeper, what is it that God has prepared for us? And the Greek word for prepare is katartzio. I don't know if any of you are Greek, maybe I'm butchering the pronunciation, but it's katartzio. And its meaning is to complete, to perfect, to bring into proper condition. And as I think about that, I'm like, huh, that's pretty cool. Because I know God's desire for us is to complete us. God's desire for us is to make his perfect image reflect us. And as I look at it, I said, wow, you know what? That's what God has prepared for us. He is preparing himself. And I just think how cool it is, because even though we may obtain other blessings or other successes along the way of life, the greatest thing we could ever wish for or hope for as God is preparing for us is him. And so I just want us to be encouraged that as we strive to live for other things, just know that if you have a relationship with the Lord, you are already blessed. That is such a great gift that God has given to us, and the gift of his Spirit to help lead us. So no matter what winding road we may find ourselves on, God will continue to reveal himself through his Spirit so we can understand the things that he still has ahead. And here's what's really cool is that with Moses, God gave him a leadership meeting through a burning bush. Through Paul, who was Saul at the time, it was a wake-up call through the blinding light. And as much as it wasn't in Saul's agenda to be blinded by 3 days, God rearranged his plans so he could reroute his destiny. And there's no limit to the ways God can and will connect with us to show us his will. I've actually been doing an in-depth study on the life of Paul, and it has been so awesome, like so awesome. This man has been through everything. I mean, detours and hardships, and you keep reading and you're going, how is he still alive? How is he still alive? But what I love about the story the most is the transformation that takes place. Because here he is, a killer of Christians, stoning and persecuting them, and then you skip over the next chapter, and there he is like a missionary preaching to the same family members of those that he had just killed. And I look at it and I go, like, where's the transformation? I know he gets blind, and then it's like, dot, 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 dot. Oh, now he's preaching in the synagogues. And I'm just looking at that, and I'm like, where is the switch? And we know in Acts 9:9 where he gets blinded, and it says for 3 days he was out without food or drink. And so I'm wondering, what did the Lord share with him? What did God speak into his life in those 3 days? Like, my heart can only imagine how the Lord must have just been, like, drawing him in. Like, you know what? You may have persecuted me and my people, but I still love you. Your life's not over. I still have a call on you. If you let me just pour my love into your life, you can do amazing things. Like, I'm thinking of the dialect that must be going along here, because Paul was so refreshed after this had happened that he immediately started his ministry. And so I thought, wow, what could happen in our lives if we were just to be quiet and wait on the Lord? What things would he tell us? It's not too late. So you've messed up. Who cares? Who hasn't? Trust me. Love me. Let me work through you. Such an encouragement to me. But I'm almost wondering that the shining light on the road to Damascus, I really don't think that made Paul blind. Spiritually, I think it made him see. And it took that as a detour in his life to wreck his plans. And it was a wake-up call, because that day, God got a hold of his heart. And through that incident, Paul has influenced over millions of people through his ministry and through his writings. And there's a saying that goes like this. Found it in the most awesome place ever on Facebook. It says, God will wreck your plans when he sees that your plans are about to wreck you. And I just love that, and I read it all the time. God will wreck your plans when he sees that your plans are going to wreck you. And I thought, have you ever loved somebody enough to where you intervened for them in a radical way because you knew the road they were heading on led to danger? How did that go? Most likely not very well, you know, because people who are doing what they want to do don't want to hear from anyone else what they should or should not be doing, right? And it just brought me back to a time where I had a really close friend, and he was just dating this lousy girl, and she was just bringing him down. And I knew that if I was to say something, it would really jeopardize our friendship. And I thought about it, and I said, April, what kind of friend really would you be if you just didn't say anything at all? So I pulled him aside. I said, hey, listen, I know you probably don't want to hear this, but the girl you're with right now, she's bad news. I know you guys are like thinking you're going to get married, but she's really like she's dragging you down. And I've seen the way she acts with you and how she acts without you. And she's two different people. And I just want you to know this, that I just don't want you to get your heart broken. And so he came to me and he was like, you're just jealous and la-da-da-da-da. And you have no idea about my life or me. And you know, the sad part is after that, he called up his family, called our friends, told them how much of a horrible person I am. He literally smeared my name in the mud. And I'm thinking, I did this to you because I care for you, and I don't want you to go down that road, right? And so it actually was about a year and a half later. We had no friendship, no connection. He pretty much wrote me off altogether. And he emailed me a year and a half later and said, April, you were so right. She broke my heart. I caught her in lies. She was not the person that I was supposed to be with. And I really apologize just for letting you down and for saying what I said, because you really did have my best interest in mind. And I didn't do it for a pat on the back, and I didn't do it to get with him by all means, but I did it because I saw the road he was heading down, and it was leading to danger. And so I think, how many times has God done that in my life, where I'm heading down a road where I shouldn't be heading down, and yet he says, you know what, April, I'm going to love you enough to hurt your feelings. Because sometimes we don't want our feelings hurt, but every once in a while, God has to hurt our feelings to reroute us where we need to go. And so there's one thing I just kind of want to make clear before we move on, is that sometimes we can cause our own detours by going off the road of rebellion, and that's our free will. While other times, God creates detours in our life that are designed to lead us closer to his will. So I don't want us to think that all detours are good or all detours are bad, because sometimes they are caused by our sinful desires, and that's a detour that we have to kind of figure out and get back on track with. But as long as we are open and willing and ready for God to use us, it's unlimited of the power that we can have through him to go to the places we never planned on going, to meet people we never planned on meeting, because that is God at work inside of us. All right, which leads us to point number three. What can we learn through detours is God's sovereignty. The definition of sovereignty is supreme power or authority, a royal rank or ruler. So try saying that three times fast, a royal rank or ruler. But this is the awesome thing about sovereignty, is that even though God is above all, even though that he is so magnificent, so powerful, so wonderful, like he chooses to get to know us. Like that is so cool. And it's easy to think of God and to put him in kind of this human-sized box of him being just a little bit older than us, just a little bit wiser than us, but there's no comparison. Because God, like, although we reflect his image, he is so much more powerful. He is so much more mighty. He has the ability to know what's ahead. He is all vast, all-knowing, creator of the universe. I mean, he created the stars in the sky. He knows all 3 billion of them by name. So if you're having some trouble with your 2, 3, 4 kids, just know that you don't have it as worse as he does, okay? 3 billion, imagine remembering 3 billion things by name. Like, that's awesome. And yet he feeds the baby birds of the air to show us that he cares. And more than that, he is so interested in the intricate details of our life, because God is sovereign. He has the ability to know what's ahead in our future, and he guides us in a way that refines our character to the destination of his unfailing grace. And just this past week, we kind of were in this conversation with one of the inmates at the prison here close by, and we were talking, and our conversation was leading to Jesus in the garden, where he is praying, Lord, not my will, but yours be done. And she said to me, she said, April, that's a really hard prayer to pray. I don't think I could pray that. Not my will, but yours be done. What if God's will for my life was like something scary? Or what if it was something I didn't want to do? How can I just tell God, hey, here's my life? She's like, does that make me a bad person? And so I thought about it. You know what? We've all been there. We've all had moments in our life where we've doubted God at one point or another. So I graciously smiled at her, and I asked her, I said, Margie, do you doubt God's goodness? Do you trust his judgments? She kind of put her head down and said, well, I guess I never really thought of it like that before. And so I showed her a verse in scripture that meant so, it's just meant so much to me over the years. Very common, found in Romans 8:28. And we were reading it together, and I kind of turned the Bible over to her, and I made her read it. I said, I want you to read this to me out loud, and I want you to see what it says and tell me what you think it means. So she read it in Romans 8:28. It says, we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. And so she looked at it, and she says, all things work together for good? I said, yeah. I said, if you can trust God and you know that he is good, then all things will work together for good, even if they don't seem like it. And so she's sitting there in a prison cell, and I said to her, kind of easier said from me to you, right? And I'm like, I'm not the one on the inside. But I said, even your destination here, even being in prison, this wasn't God's first direction for you. This was not the plan he had for you. You know, he didn't desire for you to get involved in the criminal activities that you did. However, does that mean that he can't use you here? I said, of course not. This is God's specialty, to take the areas in life that we maybe have drifted off in, and he's going to say, wow, now I'm going to use you for good. I said, your story right now, your testimony of how God has transformed your life, you are going to be able to use that to people that you meet that you may have never been able to relate to had you not been here. I said, you are surrounded by 467 other girls in this facility to be a witness to. So I said, one thing that we can learn from detours is that God will always bring good out of it if we let him. And it's just amazing, because I have to ask myself all the time when I doubt, is God good and do I trust him? And I don't know about you, but any major decision that maybe you have had to choose, or a place in your life where you come to you and you say, how could a loving God ever allow this to happen? We have to ask ourselves, is God good and do we trust him? There's a saying that goes, the Spirit of God will not lead you where the grace of God cannot keep you. I heard my grandfather saying it growing up. I've had it embedded in my mind as a little child. The Spirit of God will not lead you where the grace of God cannot keep you. And that really is such an encouragement to us, that if we can just trust God, if we can trust in his understanding, knowing that where he's leading, yeah, it may not make sense, but his goodness and grace will always be in our lives to keep us on track and aware of his sovereignty. Is trusting God easy? Maybe it is, maybe it's not. But I know one thing is that the enemy definitely makes it more difficult. Since the beginning of time, he has used doubt as his weapon to paralyze our faith. He did it with Eve in the garden, and he does it with us every day. If he can plant just a little seed of doubt in our minds, maybe that will be what distracts us from following in God, from trusting in his motives, hoping that maybe if we doubt God long enough, that we will trust his judgments and turn away from him altogether. So I encourage us as a church that as we read God's word, as we get empowered through prayer, that we will guard our mind and our heart from the enemy, and that we'll be so filled up with Jesus, so in love with his word, that those little parts of doubt that once were a seed that maybe are growing into something bigger, that we won't let it ever get to a forest in our mind. Because the more we are filled with God's love and God's word, the less room we have in our minds for doubt. So in 2 Corinthians 10:5, and if you want to turn there, you're welcome to. I have it overhead on the screen. This is from Paul, and this is what he says about people who go against God's word. It says, 2 Corinthians 10:5, We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ. How cool is that, to think that we have to take every thought captive? And my mom says this to me all the time, whenever I'm in a bad mood or in a fight with someone or whatever, and I'll feel bad about myself or I'll let insecurity overtake me, and she'll say, April, you have to take every thought captive. And I'm thinking, Mom, I don't want to be preached to right now when I'm mad, you know, but she's so right. Moms are always right to take every thought captive, because the enemy is out to destroy our minds, because this is his playground right here. If he can get inside your mind and convince you that you are nothing in Christ, then he thinks he's won. But the more that we surrender our will, surrender our rights, and surrender our life to Christ, we are reminded that we are more than conquerors through him. So it's so vital that we let God's truth resonate in our hearts and our minds. So there's two different ways that we can respond to God's sovereignty. Number one is we can be scared and afraid of what God will do in our life, both present and future. Or number two, we can have peace in our heart knowing God holds our present and our future. And when we sit down and we worry and we have these anxious thoughts, nothing good really comes from them. And just the other night, I was laying in bed, and of course I'm trying to sleep, and everything that's coming through my mind is what I have to do in the next few weeks and what I have to prepare and how I have to go here and call this person and do that. And I'm just trying to sleep, and it's like this Rolodex of information just keeps rolling through my brain. And I just prayed a quick prayer that said, Lord, will you just cover me in your peace, because I just want to go to sleep. And I closed my eyes, and I got this picture of a little child that just crawled up in his daddy's arms and just laid right on his shoulder and held him, or put his arms around him, and he held them tight. And I got that picture as I closed my eyes. Wow, God, that must be your desire for all of us, to crawl up into your arms and just lay down on you and have you hold us. Because as a child, when you're tired, when you're not wanting to go any further, all we want to do is just go up to our daddy, have him hold us. Do we have to worry where we're going? We don't, because our dad will lead us the way. Will we have to be plan out our next step of what we're going to be doing? Nope, your dad's got you. All he wants you to do is just crawl up in his arms and just let him hold you, and he will lead the way. And I just love that so much, thinking that that is God desiring relationship with us. That is him offering us his peace in exchange of our worries. And I think God gives a glimpse of sovereignty to parents. I really do believe this, because here you are, entrusted with a little life that you are raising from a child all the way up to when they're an adult, and it's like you've lived life long enough. Okay, this ain't your first rodeo. You know what goes on. If something is dangerous, it most likely will cause harm. So your job is to try to train them and instruct them and to tell them, I've been here before. I know what happens. Don't do that. And I think of like when you have a candle on your table, and a little baby goes to climb up and touch it, what are you going to say to them? You know what? No, don't touch it. It's hot. It's hot. Don't touch that. And they'll look at you, and they'll look back, and they'll crawl up on their table. You know it's going to burn them, but you warn them out of love, because you know that the direction they're heading in is not a right move for them. But yet they go up, and what happens? They touch that candle, and then they cry. Does that mean that you're not going to comfort them? Of course not. You're going to hold them up in your arms, and you're going to say, if you listened to me, I would have told you. But we have this idea of a sovereign mindset, a little glimpse of what God has, just a tiny glimpse, because we know what's to come when we go in certain directions. So far we've learned from sovereignty. We've learned God's guidance, God's provision, and God's sovereignty. So those three things come out to be GPS. So if we think about it, God really is our GPS for life. So when we feel lost, when we need to trust through his guidance, provisions, and sovereignty, that no matter where we end up, he will never leave us astray. He will be there guiding us, holding our hands wherever we need to go. So my question is, where is God leading you? What do you have in future that maybe you're too scared to go alone? What is God pulling on your heart? What are your passions? Because I believe that through the leading of the Holy Spirit, that we can do anything. We can do anything, even if it's something that will cause us fear or even if we will be afraid, because most likely if it's going to be hard, challenging, and difficult, we can bet it's going to be from God, because that is where his glory is best revealed in our lives, is when we sit back and let him rule and reign in us. I can assure you that following the GPS from the Lord will be much more accurate than Garmin. If any of you drive with her, you know that she will steer you wrong many directions, and that she will take you to places that do not exist and will reroute you. And you know when you hear recalculating that you just want to blow up in steam, right? Because it's like, I can't trust something that steers me wrong. So when we know that we have a trust that we can put in something, how much better to put our trust in something and someone who knows the way, right? And I had a story of one of my Bible speakers growing up. Really funny guy. He went to go speak at Liberty University in Lynchburg, Virginia. And he was telling us a story how he rented a car and he was driving up there and he put in his GPS the directions and they're leading him just all the wrong directions. And so he turns left, turns right. He's completely lost. He gave up on the GPS. He's trying to find his map. Which is hilarious, by the way, like when you know you have to revert to a map that like your journey has really come down to the bottom. Like who uses maps anymore? So he's trying to figure out where to go, and he gets detoured through the side road, has no idea where he is, and thinks to himself, I'll just pull straight up, and I'll turn around and come back down, see where my bearings are, see if I can get to where I need to be. He was supposed to speak at Liberty that night. I mean, it was just a nightmare. So he pulls up to the side road, and all he sees are these giant floodlights that flood his face. And he's, like, super scared, like, oh, my gosh, what did I do? People are charging after his car, and the guy screams and says, sir, get out of the vehicle. Get out of the vehicle right now. And he's singing to himself, oh, my goodness. Like, did I just step in a drug bus? Like, what is going on here? The lights come up. People are surrounding his vehicle. He looks ahead. There are spikes on the road. Someone's grabbing him out of the car, putting him against the hood. He's getting handcuffed, interrogating him. And he's like, what did I do? The man said, sir, what business do you have on the CIA headquarters? And he goes, where? Don't play dumb. You know you're on the CIA headquarters. He put his hands up. He was like, officer, I'm a Bible teacher, and I'm just looking for Liberty University. And he was like, so you have no intentions of doing anything that would disgrace America at the CIA headquarters? No, sir. Oh, okay, let him go. And he just said, he's like, it was the funniest thing, because I have no idea what's going on. I'm getting handcuffed. People are coming after me, yelling at me, all because I didn't know where I was going. And I thought, it's funny when we take trips where we don't know where we're going. Like, for me, I get so stressed out. If I have people following me, I have to make sure I know exactly where I'm turning, what I'm doing. And I love the trips where I just have to follow the car ahead of me. Those are, like, the best trips ever. Because you don't have to worry. You don't have to plan. You don't have to, you know, stress out about what exit you're turning off of. You just follow the car ahead of you. And how much more is Jesus desiring that for us, saying, you don't have to plan. You don't have to know where you're going. You don't have to know how you're going to get there. You need to love me so much that you will follow me no matter where I turn. You have to be so close to me that when I steer left, you just naturally steer left. When I go right, you go right. And I think so often we desire that control. Any control freaks in the room? Anyone type A personality who likes to plan? Am I the only one, Hal and I? You should be ashamed of yourself. I know there's more out there. But it's funny how we like to have control. We want to hold the reins because in my mind, I'm thinking, well, no one knows it better than I know. So why should I pass off this responsibility? I'll just lead. And God is showing me every day how important it is to surrender to his will, to give up my type A personality, to put my control freakness on hold, and to let him rule and to let him control me. And it's not easy. If I was to say it would be easy, I'd be a liar. But the Lord has such a peace that he wants to give us by allowing him to lead. Because when we can just let go and relax, we don't have to worry. And I think worrying and doubt, the reason why the enemy uses it so much is because it works. He will continue to give us worry and continue to give us doubt because he knows that that will stay in our minds and we will question the Lord altogether. So as much as we think we like control, we don't know what's ahead. Really, only God is the one who knows that. So will you trust him enough to let go of your plans and to place them in his hands. And there's a scripture in Proverbs 16:9, and I love this too. It says, the heart of man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps. And it's amazing how we have all these great plans, which is good. Planning is amazing. Planning is good. They have to give us dreams and hopes and getting an education and all that stuff is definitely good. I'm not bashing that. But I'm just saying we have to make plans, but then keep our hands open to what God will do. And I love how my mom, every morning before she wakes up, she prays, Lord, align my steps today. Bring me to wherever you want me. Put people on my path that I wouldn't have seen, had I gone my regular route, and just align my steps. So it's amazing when we're together, like if I get a flat tire or if I'm late for a meeting or if I'm stressing and we're here, she's like, it doesn't matter. I already prayed for God to align my steps. So wherever we go, whatever time we get there, whatever happens, he already ordained it. And I'm like, oh, here I am stressing out, like, I'm going to be late, but it's okay, Mom. You're not worried because you already prayed today, But it's amazing, and that has kind of been contagious. The more times I stop and pray and ask God, align my steps today, it's amazing. You have to be ready, because if you pray that, he will. I mean, he will take you places you never would have gone before. And it happens very frequently, whether it's, you go to get your hair done and your regular person isn't there. You know what? That happened to me a few weeks ago, and I sat in the chair, and I was able to witness to this other girl I would have never talked to had God not stepped in and intervened and change the direction of our life. And it could just be little things. It doesn't have to be huge life-changing decisions. It can be the little things in life. What has God done where he has redirected your plans? Did you go to the same school you always dreamed of going to? Did you have the job that you always wanted to as a kindergartner? Did you make it to be an astronaut? We have these things that we have in our heart, and those are awesome things. But God is desiring for us to trust him enough to place our plans in his hands and to let him take control of us. So if you will, you can just stand with me. I know that some of us here have traveled a few rough roads. Maybe some of you have enjoyed the journey, and maybe others have sprouted a little gray hairs from it. But we know that ultimately God is in control, and we know that his plans are so much more greater than our plans. And it's amazing what we can do when we just let go and let God. Because he will take control. He will rule our hearts. And so I just want to invite you today. We have a prayer team that's going to be in the back this morning. And they are here to help and to pray over you. If you are just needing a boost of faith, if you are looking to just reconnect with the Lord, they're here to pray for you. If you say, well, I've never really truly experienced giving God full direction, giving God full rights to me, what does that even look like? What is it like to engage in a relationship with the Lord? I just encourage you, seek prayer this morning, because God's main desire is for you to be so in love with him that he will take you on the adventure of a lifetime. And it truly is. It truly is an adventure. And I'm just so grateful for what the Lord is about to do and what he is doing. So let's go ahead and pray real quick, and then we're going to close off this service with a song. God, I just thank you so much just for what you're doing in our hearts and in our lives. Lord, we're just so blessed and encouraged to know that you hold our future in your hands, that you have set out for us exactly what we need to do, where we need to be, and God, the people in our path that you are going to send to us for a reason. And so I just pray right now, God, for every heart in this room, Lord, that you will just encourage them, that you will bring them a peace that passes all understanding, that you will help guard their minds to the evil schemes of the devil, that they will be so in love with you, Lord, that the temptation of sin and doubt and worry and any anxious feeling will not hinder them. God, I pray for strength as a church. I pray for strength as a family, strength as a nation, God, that we will just do what it takes to trust you. And Lord, I know that those words are just a lot easier to be said, but they are so much more difficult when they're lived. So give us the faith, Lord, just to continue. And I just pray, God, just for every person here, Lord, that you will do a work in their life, work in their heart, and that you will show them how sovereign you truly are. So we just thank you and love you this morning for what you're about to do. In Jesus' name.